Hello and welcome to Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and today on the program, Rabbi Schneider continues this engaging study into the Song of Songs. It's one thing to know about God, but that's not enough. We also need to make him known to the world at large. And so Rabbi Schneider is going to help us understand our purpose as he looks at some of the mysteries of the Song of Songs. If you'd like to take notes on today's message, just head over to our website at discoveringthejewishjesus.com and download Rabbi's study guide. But let's get started. Here is Rabbi Schneider.
The Song of Songs communicates to us the beauty of the Lord in a way that is unlike any other book in the Bible, old or new. You see, each book in the Bible has its own color of the anointing. For example, you look at the prophets, there's a prophetic anointing. There's an anointing that tells us, for example, in the book of Revelation, about what to expect in the end times. You look at the book of Proverbs, there's an anointing of wisdom. You look at the book of Psalms, there's an anointing of crying out from the heart. But when we study the Song of Songs, what comes over us, beloved ones, is an anointing of beauty as the Lord reveals to us his emotional nature. There's no other book in the Word of God that reveals to us the emotional nature of God the way the Song of Songs does. Oftentimes when people think of the Lord, they don't necessarily think of God as an emotional being. But consider this, do you and I have emotions? Can we feel happy or sad? Can we feel love or hate? Of course we have emotions. Can we feel compassion? The reason, my beloved friends, that you and I have emotions is because the God, the Lord, that created us in his own image, has emotions. We have emotions because our Creator has emotions. We've been created in his likeness. And so the Song of Songs helps move us into connecting with God emotionally. As I've said in many of the other teachings, this is not simply a letter from King Solomon to his lover, who is called the Shulamite bride in the Song of Songs. This is a prophetic love song from the Lord to his people. This is not some fantastical interpretation that I'm giving. The Hebrew rabbis have always understood the Song of Songs as a love letter between God and his people. I'm going to be picking up today in chapter number 1, in verse number 4. Last time I talked about how the Shulamite bride was calling upon her lover to kiss her with the kisses of his mouth. Let me read it to you once again. May he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. In other words, she longed to feel God's nearness. More than anything else, she longed to feel close to God. Many of you have been in worship services where perhaps your eyes were closed and your hands were raised, perhaps even tears came down your cheeks as you worshiped him and praised him. This is what I'm talking about. But she describes in a way that's so intimate, it almost takes your breath away. Speaking to God in the prophetic sense of the word, she says, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth, for your love is better than wine. Why would she use erotic language in her relationship to God? Because sexuality is the most intimate thing that we can experience in a relationship. That's why the Bible says that all other sins that people commit are sins outside their body. But when somebody sins sexually, they sin against their own body. In other words, when the early Hebrew patriarchs married their wife and the marriage was consummated when they had intercourse, the scripture says that at that point, the man knew his wife. So sexuality between a man and woman in their marriage is the most intimate form of relationship. And it's for this reason that God is allowing the Shulamite bride to be calling out to him in erotic language, because he's trying to help us comprehend how close to us he wants to be. Now, of course, we're not talking about physical sexuality. We're talking here, beloved ones, about intimacy. She's hungering and thirsting and longing for intimacy. And you know what happened? The Lord answered her prayer. Because Jesus said, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst, they shall be satisfied." If you're hungering and thirsting from the depths of your kishkas, from the depths of your being, to feel closer to God, if you're knocking and seeking and asking and calling out to Him and drawing near to Him, you know what's going to happen? God's going to draw near to you, and you're going to have an experience. The Lord draws near to those that draw near to Him. Look at how it happened here in the Song of Songs. She says, "May He kiss me with the kisses of His mouth, for your love is better than wine." What happens next in verse 4b? The king, she says, has brought me into His chambers. So she's calling out. She's putting it all on the line. Totally transparent. She says, "I want you more than anything in life. And I want you more than anything in the world. I'm willing to forsake anything for you, King Jesus, to feel you, to walk hand in hand with you, to know how much you love me, to feel our union." And you know what happened when she called out to Him with all her passion? The Lord answered. And so she says, "The king has brought me into His chambers." She had an experience, an encounter that forged her forever. Notice also in verse number 4, after she's calling out, "Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth," notice she also says, "Draw me after you and let us run together." It's interesting that as she called out in desperation to feel God's love for her, to feel how intimately He loved her, as she called out to Him with total abandonment, she realized that this merger of the two of them together could not take place without the Father sovereignly drawing her in. And so she says in verse 4, "Draw me after you." It reminds me of the words that Jesus said in John 6. Yeshua said, "No one can come to me unless the Father draws him. All the Father gives me shall come to me." The truth is, you and I can't even come to Jesus. We can't even be drawn to Yeshua unless the Father supernaturally draws us. We're not going to be attracted to Jesus unless the Father puts it in our heart to be attracted to Him. See, the Bible says, by grace we've been saved through faith, and even the faith that you have is a gift from God. So we see this reflected here in the Shulamite's passion. She wanted so much to enter into the heart of intimacy with the Lord, but she knew that she couldn't enter in unless the Lord drew her in. So let's just take a second and ask the Father to draw us. Father, we ask You to draw us into the bosom of Jesus. Father, we ask You to draw us in to the depths of Your heart. Father, we ask You to draw us into Your center, into the center of Yeshua, of Jesus. Draw us into the Holy of Holies, Lord. Draw us in, we pray, Father God, through the blood of the Lamb.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and Rabbi will be right back.
Beware. Your family is under attack, bombarded with the acceptance of same-sex marriage, gender fluidity taught to our children in school, government-funded drag queen story hours, and the rainbow has been hijacked. When will it end? Enough is enough. Discover the real truth about God's rainbow. It's time to take the rainbow back. Visit takingtherainbowback.com.
Just as this program has been a blessing to you, you can multiply the blessing with others. It's simple when you become a monthly partner. Give a financial gift of any amount today or set up your monthly automated gift by calling this number, 800-777-7835. Or you can visit discoveringthejewishjesus.com when you give, you're equipping others for Jesus' return. And now, here is Rabbi Schneider.
So she continues here, "Draw me after you and let us run together." This was her life's purpose. And I'm suggesting that this should be our life's purpose. Two things. verse 4, chapter 1, her life's purpose. Number one, that she would be drawn into the Lord, that she would be closer and closer walking with Yeshua. Draw me after you, she said. That's her number one goal, her personal sanctification, her personal relationship with the Lord. Draw me after you. Her heart beat for him. That was her number one purpose in life, to know him better. Jesus said, this is eternal life, to know God and Jesus Christ, whom the Father has sent. That's her first life purpose, to know him, to seek him, to be drawn after him. And notice her second life's purpose, and let us run together. So let's read it once again together. Verse 4, draw me after you and let us run together, to know him and to make him known. That should be our life's purpose. It's just that simple. Beloved, it's just that simple. It's right here in the Song of Songs. That's all that needs to be written about this. Our life's purpose. Draw me after you, to know you, and let us run together to make him known. How do we run together with Jesus? Yeshua said, as the Father sent me, so also now I send you. Yeshua said, you shall be my witnesses. Go into all creation and share your testimony with all creation. This is why we're here, to know him, to keep discovering him, to keep drawing closer and closer to him so that our fellowship with him becomes more and more established and secure, so that our peace grows, so that the roots of our relationship get more and more grounded, so we become more and more sturdy in our walk and relationship, so that we stand even when the winds and waves are blowing on the surface, that we're established and perfected so that our fellowship with them is not broken, that our peace is unshakable. Number one, to seek after him, to know him in this way, to find this inner security that comes from knowing how deeply loved we are. And then secondly, to share the beauty and the love of Jesus with everybody on earth that God gives us an opportunity to do so with. This is what the purpose of life is. At the end of the day, this is all that's going to matter. Did we seek him first and foremost for ourselves, to know him, to love him as the pearl of great price above all else? Did we believe, like the Shulamite bride declared, that his love is better than wine? What's wine? Wine is the symbol of all earthly celebration. Wine is the symbol of the fruit of the earth. Wine is the symbol of the greatest things that the world has to offer us. Remember, Jesus' first miracle was he turned the water to wine at the wedding. So the first thing is that we realize that the love of Jesus is better than anything the world has to offer. It's better than all the world's wine. And so because we realize that, we seek him first above all else. We begin every morning seeking his face. And then secondly, what do? We go about the day looking to serve him and to extend his kingdom wherever we go. And because her heart was so aligned with his heart, because she was so in agreement with his purpose and will for her life, the Father continued to reveal himself in even greater ways. And so she says, once again, the King has brought me into his chambers. She was marked. She was marked for life. You see, when you've been touched by the Lord, when you've been baptized by an encounter of how real he is and how much he loves you, you'll be marked for life. And so, Father, I ask on behalf of everyone that's under the sound of my voice, every single person that's hearing your words, Lord, coming forth right now. I pray for everyone whose heart is open and longing after you, that you would touch them and mark them, that you'd seal them with your Holy Spirit and with fire, the fires of your divine love that nothing can put out. Let's continue on. She says, the King has brought me into his chambers. And then she says, we will rejoice in you and be glad. We will extol your love more than wine. So this is interesting. She had this encounter with Jesus, and her response to that was that I will rejoice. Listen again. She's brought into the chamber, then she says, we will rejoice in you and be glad. One of the things that Satan tries to do to put the fire of God's flame out in our soul is to cause us to enter in to what I'm going to call now a spirit of entitlement. Rather than rejoicing and being grateful and being thankful for all that God is, for all that He's done, and for all that He's doing, instead, we allow the devil to put within us a spirit of ingratitude, a spirit of entitlement, and a spirit of complaining. And think about your own life, and I look at my life. How many times are we complaining about something? We didn't like what we just ate, yet there's many people in the world, they have nothing to eat at all. We complain that we had to wait too long in the doctor's office, but many people in the world, they have no access whatsoever to health care. We need to do an attitude check. We need to do an attitude realignment. The scripture says that we should rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. One of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. You see, this Shulamite bride that had been brought into an experience of the Lord's love, her response was to rejoice. You and I need to discipline ourselves to form the mindset of rejoicing. Sure, life is hard. I get it. We all get it. Life's a struggle. Every day, right? It's a battle. But we need to not allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by the enemy and the negativity. Instead, we need to say, thank you, Father, that I'm alive today. Thank you that I know you love me today. Thank you that I can breathe today. Thank you, Father God, that I'm able to experience relationship. And we just need to list the things that we do have and form a habit of rejoicing. Because if we are moved to complain and to have an attitude of ingratitude, we're not going to be able to experience the love of God in our heart. And so her response is she desired to walk with God and partner with Him in life, where she realized she needed to walk in a spirit of rejoicing, just as the Brit Chadashah, or the New Testament scriptures, teach us. She said, we will rejoice in you and be glad. We will extol your love more than wine. In other words, she's going to proclaim that the glory of God's love is greater, once again, than anything that this world can ever offer us. Now, as we proceed in the text, we're going to transition into a completely different thought. We just got done talking about how beautiful Jesus is. She realized that His love is more beautiful than anything the world has to offer. But then what happens, beloved, is she begins to shrink back in self-consciousness and shame. And she says in the next verse, I am black, but lovely. In verse number 6, do not stare at me because I am swarthy, for the sun has burned me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me caretaker of the vineyards, but I have not taken care of my own vineyard. What's going on here? She said, I'm black and swarthy. She said, I was a caretaker and they were angry at me and put me out in the fields. What was going on was she was working as kind of a minimum wage worker, and she was outside all the time because of this being burnt by the sun. And so what is coming forth from her is she's feeling ashamed about herself. She's struggling with self-worth, and in that struggle, she begins to shrink back and is having a difficult time receiving more of the Lord's fullness for her. She's having a difficult time receiving more of her love. She's shrinking back and running like Adam and Eve did after they sinned. And maybe I'm speaking to you right now. I want you to join me next time, because Jesus has a cure for your shame. And He's got a cure for my shame. Because He doesn't see us as inferior. He doesn't see you or I are ugly. He sees you as beautiful. And next time, beloved, I'm going to explain it to you, and we're going to rejoice in this beautiful anointing of King Jesus, you and I, together.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus and the Bible Teaching of Rabbi Schneider. And if you'd like to take your study of the mysteries of the Song of Songs deeper, we'd love for you to go online to our website and explore. We have a variety of books, teaching CDs and DVDs, and so much more that will walk you through many of these less traveled passages of Scripture, like the ones that we learned about today. And to discover it now, just go to discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And while you're online, make sure and learn more about how you can support us this year through your prayers and your finances. Now, here is Rabbi to talk about that a little bit more in depth.
I hope you've noticed that when it comes to raising finances for the ministry so that we can continue to proclaim God's word around the world, I really strive to not manipulate and to be clean. So the truth is today that it cost us a lot of money to be able to broadcast on television, YouTube, and all the other media outlets that we're releasing God's word through, as well as the traveling that we do around the world. And I can't do it, beloved ones, without your continued help and financial support. This is the way God ordained it to be. John said in one of his letters that men that are preaching the truth are worthy of the support, the financial support of the church. So I want to thank you for sending me out. And I also want to encourage you, beloved, to know that when you support the gospel with your finances, there is a reward that will come back to you, because everything that we sow into the kingdom comes back pressed down, good measure, and running over into our lap. Thank you for your love and your financial support.
As the Lord leads you to support this ministry with a financial gift, I'd like to invite you to give online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com or give when you call 800-777-7835. As our way of saying thank you for your generous financial gift, we'll send you our most recent newsletter that's filled with special insights and updates, and we'll also send you Rabbi Schneider's Message of the Month, which is available as a digital download. And then don't forget, if you're looking for fresh revelation each day while moving into a deeper place of abiding in God's presence, make sure to purchase your copy of Rabbi's latest book, Entering His Presence. It's available right now, and I know you'll be encouraged by these inspiring daily devotions. There's 100 of them. And to purchase your copy today of Entering His Presence, visit us online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And then before we head into the weekend, I'd love to take a moment right now and pray with you. Father God, we come before you and we ask that you would help us to keep our focus on you, Lord. Father, help us to remember how loving, kind, and patient that you truly are each and every single day. And God, your love is better than anything that we can find on earth. And you showed us that by sending us your Son to be with us today and always. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And now let's wrap up today's message with a special blessing from Rabbi Schneider.
The Aaronic blessing in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, is not a blessing that comes from an impersonal being out there somewhere in the heavens. This special blessing comes from a person, Yahweh, God Almighty, our Creator and Maker. So receive God's blessing into your life right now.
Yavah Rechecha Yahweh Vayishmarecha Ya'er Yahweh Panav Elecha V'hunecha Yisa Yahweh Panav Elecha Ve'asem Lecha Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up with His countenance, and the Lord give you, beloved one, His peace. God bless you, and shalom.
I'm Dustin Roberts, and Discovering the Jewish Jesus is a production of Shalom Ministries. Be sure to join us next time when Rabbi Schneider continues this study from the Song of Songs. That's coming up Monday on Discovering the Jewish Jesus.